From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. On the program today, it's Ed Fernandez from the Ephrata Performing Arts Center and Josh Kerwin, a friend of the Wood Stove House who plays bass with Derry Miller in The Vale, and is also the lead in the upcoming EPAC production of Spring Awakening. While this show is now a Broadway musical, it was written in Germany as an avant-garde play by Frank Wedekind over 100 years ago. The play was extremely controversial and until recently had been very rarely produced.
I think it played in New York in 1914 for one night, and they went nuts. They closed it down after one night, and it was a very controversial play. And then they decided to make a musical out of it 100 years later. Yeah.
Coming up, it's Ed Fernandez and Josh Kerwin talking about Spring Awakening that opens at EPAC on October 25th. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Our friends at My Rural Radio are bringing Fall Music Fest back to Naylor Winery in Stewartstown, Pennsylvania, coming up on Saturday, October 27th, from 11 a.m. till 10 p.m. The festival benefits Children's Miracle Network, a nonprofit organization dedicated to saving and improving the lives of children by raising funds for children's hospitals. It's a full day of music and fun featuring some of the best regional artists, including Wadad, Derry Miller in The Vale, Sarah Blacker, J.D. Sage, Megan and the Wheelman, and American Jane. It's a total family-friendly event. It includes pumpkin painting, face painting, Halloween costume contests, and much more. Tickets are only $15 at the gate. Kids under 15 are free. Don't miss Fall Music Fest 4 on October 27th. More details at myruralradio.com. New York City's Barnaby Bright, who are past Woodstove House concert performers, are officially releasing their brand new album, The Longest Day, on October 23rd at a CD release party at Joe's Pub in New York. That show starts at 7 p.m. Tickets are $15 and includes a shiny new CD. You can visit barnabybright.com, where they're streaming a new song from the record every Tuesday. Here's one of them. This is Old Coats by Barnaby Bright on Around the Wood Stove.
Old coats and furniture out on the front porch, someone left there. This house is breathing relief through its curtains and tile squares. Ghosts in the cellar, they come and they go as they want to. Feel how the pain of a stranger can linger and haunt you. She wore the dress he adored, made of gingham. Just as he promised, all the way down, down, oh, all the way down, down, oh, all the way down.
That was Old Coats by Barnaby Bright on Around the Wood Stove. Check out episode number 4 of this program at woodstovehouse.com for a full-length feature interview with Becky and Nathan Bliss from Barnaby Bright. And you can find their new album, The Longest Day, everywhere on October 23rd. We have less than a week to go before Creativity Con 2012. It's coming up this Saturday, October 20th, at the Candy Factory in Lancaster. This is a one-day creativity conference featuring 5 guest speakers who will share their stories and offer tools and resources to inspire you to ignite your creative fire. Whether you're a creative professional, student, hobbyist, or somewhere in between, there will be something to get you inspired to live your life filled with creative passion. This conference is not specific to a particular discipline. All of the presentations are relevant across the creative spectrum, and there will be time for open discussion and networking with other creatives from around the area. Conference registration is $125, which includes conference materials, a continental breakfast, and an afternoon snack. All of the details, including the conference schedule, bios of our speakers, and a link to register for the conference can be found at creativitycon.com. Or visit woodstovehouse.com and click the banner at the top of the page. Special thanks to our sponsors for this year's conference, The Candy Factory, Lancaster's premier co-working space, where working together is sweet, The USIC, the online creative co-op marketplace, and the Pennsylvania Guild of Craftsmen. Creativity Con 2012, Saturday, October 20th. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Ed Fernandez, artistic director of the Ephrata Performing Arts Center, and actor and musician Josh Kerwin, who will star in EPAC's upcoming performance of Spring Awakening that opens on October 25th and runs through November 10th. It's Central Pennsylvania Theater on Around the Wood Stove. Joining me at the Woodstove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's Josh Kerwin and Ed Fernandez. Ed's the artistic director at the Ephrata Performing Arts Center.
Correct.
Welcome. Thanks so much for being here. It's great to talk to you, fellas.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
We're here to talk about a show that's going to be opening for you later this month called Spring Awakening.
Yes.
And Josh is a bass player in a band, friend of mine, Derry Miller.
Yes.
Derry Miller and the Vale made this connection because Josh is performing in this show.
Yeah.
But I would like to start with, let's start with first EPAC, because I haven't had anyone from EPAC on.
Oh, shame on you.
Well, I'm making right.
You're correcting it now. Okay.
I'm making right.
That's your mitzvah.
So let's set the stage. Let's build the foundation for my EPAC, the future. I'm going to have EPAC folks on all the time.
There you go.
So we have to form a foundation.
Yeah,
and tell me about EPAC.
Well, the Ephrata Performing Arts Center is a community theater that is in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, which is 20 minutes from Lancaster, from the heart of Lancaster. And it's been around for a long time. The theater itself has gone through many, many names. It started out in the 1950s as a summer stock theater. And that was in the olden days. Theater in the summer, there was summer stock tours. And there were summer stock theaters that actors would appear in. Mm. And you'd either get actors on their way up or actors on their way down. And EPAC was one of those theaters, and it was a barn. At that time, it was in the round, and it was a barn. And if you could, we're still finding stuff, the Veronica Lake and Katna Hutchin roof. And the stories I'm getting is that was quite towards the end where she had a little dementia, would wander off stage. And but then you had, Betty White got her start. There's tons of photos of Betty White, Ann B. Davis from the Brady Bunch. We all remember Ann B. Davis and the Brady Bunch. John McMartin, very, very famous Broadway leading man, a character actor, did a lot of shows there. So there was a plethora of people that were there. Chico Marx. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it was run by a man from New York called John Cameron. It was very successful. Towards the end of summer stock in the 70s, when summer stock was dying, the theater kind of was dying, and it was in a state of disrepair, the community took it over. They didn't want the theater to go.
Okay.
So a couple of community members came over and formed the Ephrata Performing Arts Center, which was a community-based theater.
Yeah.
And so they saved it. That was in the late 70s. And then there was some Millersville was in there for a while, and then a thing called Gallimaufry. And then in 2003, we had a total renovation. And because, I mean, it was an old barn. It was falling down. The roof was rotted. There were squirrel nests all over. It smelled, it was hideous. And we raised a lot of money, which we're still paying off. And we reconverted in the building that Josh knows now as EPAC is basically new. And it's a full year performing arts center with air conditioning. Before, there was, I think, one toilet in the entire theater. The customers had to go out to the park to use the public facilities in the park. And I think there was one sink. I'm lying. There were two sinks. And in the dressing rooms. And it was really hot. And but now it's a full year performing arts center. And it has a reputation. Our niche, as you say, our reputation is we kind of do stuff other theaters won't do or can't do. Cutting edge stuff, new stuff. Stuff that's available that might be too risky because of content or stuff like that. And other theaters maybe won't take that risk, and we do, which is great because it gives us a definite niche and built a reputation. But, you know, it's harder to get an audience to come see Equus than it would to come see Singing in the Rain. And we try to keep it all balanced. We have our season that we'll have a classic like Guys and Dolls and then Angels in America. And so we really believe in a variety of theater and something for everybody.
That's
so
great.
And Spring Awakening, if I may jump to Spring Awakening. Spring Awakening is, there are personal ties with this, so we can get into later.
Sure.
But it's the perfect type of show that EPAC would premiere here because it's avant-garde, it's cutting edge, and it deals with subject matter that other theaters might be afraid to deal with language, nudity, and subject matter.
Yeah, I would say that would. I don't know a lot about the show, and so I was doing a little research, and it's fascinating history going back. So this show was actually written
100 years ago.
Yeah,
about 100 years ago by Frank Wedekind, German, very bohemian avant-garde playwright, and it opened, and it was caused such a scandal. I mean, and it's a very bizarre. I just read it in my research. I read a couple of translations of it, and it's dealt with homosexuality, rape, sadomasochism, and it's about kids discovering their sexuality in a very repressed society. And I think it played in New York in 1914 for one night, and they went nuts. They closed it down after one night, and it was a very controversial play. And then they decided to make a musical out of it 100 years later.
Oh, so that's a new twist, the musical
part. Oh, yeah. Okay. Then it was. They decided to make a musical out of it. Duncan Sheik and Michael Meyer was the original director. And Stephen, do you know the lyricist? Stephen Satter, I believe is how you pronounce it. Excuse me if I'm wrong. They were obsessed with the Vedekind. They met in a Buddhist chanting session. Sheik and Satter met. That's how me and Josh met, by the way.
We were
chanted
together
and
it was great.
Hey, you know, let's do Spring Awakening.
Yes.
And they met in a Buddhist chanting session. They both started talking about Spring Awakening. They both were, you know, I was into the play, and that's where that was born. And they never expected it to be a commercial success like it was. But it just caught on.
Yeah, let's.
And it went off Broadway first, and then it went to Broadway.
Let's fast forward because that was really recently compared to the timeline.
Oh yeah,
2006, right?
Yeah.
Joining me today on the program, it's Ed Fernandez and Josh Kerwin talking about the upcoming EPAC performance of Spring Awakening. On Broadway, the musical starred Lancaster County native Jonathan Groff, who was nominated for a Tony for his role in the show. And then there's a connection.
Yes, there is a connection.
So let's talk about that connection.
The connection is the Groff connection. Jonathan Groff, who most people know now from Glee and from he's doing The Boss now, he starred as Melchior in the off-Broadway production. He workshopped it with Lea Michele. And then they both went to Broadway. Well, I had known Jonathan. I had worked with John when he was a kid, and he kind of grew up at EPAC.
Okay.
And the Fulton. In fact, I cast John. The first time I cast John was in a Peter Pan in 1999 to 2000. It was a Christmas season, I cast him as the head I forget what the name was, but it was a Lost Boy. I was directing Peter Pan at the Fulton. I cast him. He had the coonskin cat, and he had pimples, and his voice was cracking at the time. He was really young. And then, so I knew Johnny, and then he worked. I directed him in Bat Boy. I directed him in Honk. And so he was just one of our EPAC kids that grew up in our theater and in the local theater scene. And he starred in it off Broadway.
Wow.
And that was his first big break. And then he moved into Broadway and got nominated for a Tony. John Gallagher won Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, yes.
David Hyde Pierce. Thank you. Pierce from Frasier. But then he went on to Glee and he went on to All Things. So that is our personal connection.
And what did that connection... How did that connection influence your decision to want to do this?
Well, I think I would have done it anyway. Okay. It just makes it a little sweet. Because I went to see Johnny in the show, and it was really a weird experience because first of all, it was John, so I'm looking at John, and then the show itself was. I remember sitting there just like agog almost. Like, I don't know what my reaction was because I'd never seen anything like it before and it was so in your face. And don't forget, Off Broadway was this little theater, like smaller than EPAC. It was like the north section of EPAC was, the middle section. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wow. And so I probably would have done the show anyway, regardless, because it was like, watched it and said, that's an EPAC show. You know, which is sort of like for people who go to EPAC, I always get that. You got to do that. That's an EPAC show.
Right.
And I was like, we can do that. That's the kind of show that we can do. It just made it sweet that Johnny was connected to it. And then we saw it on Broadway with John, and he's going to try to come see it, and he really wants to come see it. Which I'm really hoping he can. His schedule's crazy, though.
In which case, I'll probably throw up. But I mean,
he doesn't want. He was very implicit. He doesn't. You're not going to know when he comes.
Oh no, I don't want to know.
He says he's going to come see it, and afterwards he'll see the cast and talk to the kids. But he doesn't want to make it about him.
Yep,
he's very great. He says he's not going to make. He doesn't want to come and make it about him. He wants it to be about EPAC and the show. But so knowing Jonathan. Has helped because I could ask him questions about the original production, but it just makes the whole thing rather nice, rather sweet to do the show. Mm. So I would have done it anyway if I had seen the show, but knowing that Johnny was part of the show and that he was in it makes it just nicer. And he's been very generous giving us press release material, and he's very happy that we're doing the show.
Josh, you're playing the role that John played.
Yes,
so,
I am.
Tell me about your history with this particular show.
Well, okay. Well, I actually have done this show once before. I did a production of it at Penn State Harrisburg with a friend of mine, Jim Johnson. And so I have a little bit of experience doing the show. And what happened was, it's actually opening night when we did the show.
Was it opening night?
I think it was opening night, yeah, I think so. And Ed came to see the show, and I guess, must have enjoyed something. So he, he talked to me, said, hey, I'd love you to audition for our production of it. And so, the rest is history, so.
How do you feel about taking on that role in a place like EPAC where Jonathan came up?
Yeah, it's... Certainly, there's a little pressure, I'm sure, I feel confident with the show. This is a show that's really close to me as well. I'm really actually not usually into doing a lot of musical theater. I'm usually into drama, but this show it just speaks to my heart. I completely relate to all of the issues in the show, from my childhood and things like that, and it's just such a great show that I don't really think, you can be too intimidated by it.
Right.
Other than, just the emotion itself.
Sure.
So.
Did you know each other prior to that opening?
No.
I had seen a few EPAC shows. I had seen Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, that was ages ago.
Oh, I know, right? That was a great one. I really enjoyed that. And then also I had just recently seen Tommy, which was directed by our choreographer, Kristen Ponce.
Okay.
And that was, and I've enjoyed everything that I've seen so far, and I was really, you know, psyched to get in here, so it was great.
Josh Kerwin is also the bass player in the Central Pennsylvania rock band Derry Miller and the Vale. Here's a track from the band, it's I Get By Better, on Around the Wood Stove.
Keep me back on my shoulders, to the back of bones. Got to math and you learned to never leave me alone. It's hard to stay lit in your house of storms. You scream like the wind and then you blow down the door. I have a smile similar to the sun. And like a child, a frolic in the fun. Then come the clouds, the terror has begun. Open your mouth and run. Well, I get by better with the pick-me-up. You can change up my truck, but don't trick me, love. I survive better when my interest is gone. And the rest is left to the mirror. Never claim to carry any out of gold. I could carry myself too drunk to get you home. Secure it off the sea that you'd ever shown. We made love in the field where nothing would ever grow. A smile similar to the sun, and like a child, a frolic in the fun. Then come the clouds, the terror has begun. Open your mouth and run. Well, I get by better with the pick me up. You could change up my truck, but don't trick me, love. I survive better when my interest is gone, and the rest is left up to the mirror. But I get by better with the pick-me-up. You could change up my truck, but don't trick me, love. I survive better when my interest is kept, and the rest is left up to the mirror. I get by better, I get by better, I get by better with the pick-me-up. You know I'm better with the pick-me-up.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with performing artists and those who make the performing arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. And if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. And now back to today's conversation with Ed Fernandez and Josh Kerwin. I asked Ed how the Ephrata community, which has a reputation of being socially conservative, reacts to some of the more controversial EPAC productions.
I think people just know that we're the crazy people up there who do stuff. I think they're just used to us. It's like we're the drunk uncle at the wedding. They're like, oh, geez, all
right,
whatever.
Right, there's no sense in bringing that up again.
He's doing a strip. He has a lampshade on his head. He's doing the strip tease. We'll just look the other way until it's over. Have our pie and, you know, talk about it. But seriously, we have a great relationship. Some people like Digga, some people don't. And some people like some things we do, some people like, but we rarely get any letters. I mean, as a matter of fact, I will let you know we did Equus last season. And this is why, which is nudity for like half an hour, complete male and female nudity. And we got lots of money donated. So it's yeah, and maybe the box office, I mean, they weren't, it wasn't standing room only, and some of our subscribers might have decided to sit that show out.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, we didn't get any complaints, we didn't get any letters. I think we got one call, a board member got one call from a woman who was concerned about the show because she thought it was about bestiality. And when we explained to her it really wasn't about that, she was just, you know, what the show was about, she was funny. Oh, okay. You know, but that was, we got a lot of thank you cards for doing the show and a lot of donations.
That's cool.
So, you know, I think there's more letters of complaint about theaters that are more, quote, in more liberal places than we get. So it's you know, people are like, how do you do the things you do?
Well, it's
I remember when I first came here, we did Kiss the Spider Woman back in the 90s, and we did when I first did my first Chicago, which is now it's nothing, but you have to understand, back 20 years ago, 15 years ago, Chicago was like a dirty musical, quote unquote, dirty. And I said, oh, are we going to be run out of town in a rail or what? And no, and it was a huge hit. So
that's cool.
I never underestimate my audience.
In all of your history with EPAC, can you give me a standout highlight for you?
Oh, I've been there so long. I'm an old man.
There's got to be something that
the day the Lincoln was shot. I remember we were in rehearsal. No, let me think. There's so many. I think opening the new theater. If I had to really think about it, I think opening the new theater from this place that was a basically falling down. I don't know how long we could have. It was hot. I don't know how, you know, it was.
Yeah, right.
But opening a $2 million new facility, I think would have to be the highlight. That, wow. And the people who were at the time helped do that. And that was, and you know, it was the dedication of everybody and the love that we were able to do this and open this new facility, and that we could expand our programming to summer camp for children for theater. And I always wanted, you know, I grew up and I was in the arts and I was typical artistic, romantic, it felt alienated from everybody for, you know, who I was, and I felt I didn't belong anywhere and I lived in my head, and I'm sure all artistic people can relate to that, and I couldn't find any place that I could really be me. I didn't know who I was, but I know there was no place that nourished me, and the public education system didn't. I wasn't lucky enough to have a teacher who would, and I wanted to create, being able to open this new facility and seeing the educational programs with the kids going there, and I wanted a safe place for young people to explore their creativity. And a non-judgmental place where kids can be that who they are and explore their creativity and get to know who they are by exploring their creativity. And that, I think, and to create a safe haven. And that's what we've created. And I love it when I see the young kids there coming up. And even in Spring Awakening, that I could work with the young kids and teach them the joy of art and of creation. And to have faith in themselves and their own creative process. And I think if I had to say what was a highlight, I think that would be that we were able to achieve that. And I was able to create a place that I wish I had when I was growing up and didn't have.
Lancaster's 24-hour plays are happening on the weekend of November 2nd and 3rd. Six writers, six directors, and 20 actors will come together for an extreme theater weekend, writing and producing six original plays in 24 hours. The public performance is on Saturday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. at Community Mennonite Church of Lancaster. That's at 328 West Orange Street downtown. Tickets are on sale now. Visit Lancaster24.com for details and to grab your tickets today. It's Josh Kerwin and Ed Fernandez from EPAC on Around the Wood Stove. Spring Awakening opens at EPAC on October 25th and is going to run through November 10th. Information, tickets, all that stuff can be found on your website.
Mm-hmm. EffortOfPerformingArtsCenter.com.
All right, very good. And we'll link up in the show post for that. Is there anything else coming up this season you'd like to mention?
Well, we're toward the end of our season, and we're going to go talk about, and this is EPAC, we're going from Spring Awakening, we're closing out with Anything Goes, the Cole Porter 1930s musical. So you have two ends of the spectrum, okay, which is totally EPAC. And then we start, we're getting ready to start, we're already into our 2013 season. We're going to open with Angels in America, and parts one and two in rep. And then we're going to do Avenue Q. After Avenue Q, we do Neil Simon's Brighton Beach Memoirs, the classic Guys and Dolls, Tennessee Williams' Glass Menagerie, Stephen Sondheim's Assassins, which is a very interesting show, and then Fiddler on the Roof. So we're getting gearing up, so we have a lot of great things coming, a lot of great shows.
Well, thank you both very much for taking a few minutes to talk about this upcoming show, Spring Awakening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Opening in just a couple of weeks here at the Effort of Performing Arts Center. Ed Fernandez, Josh Kerwin, thanks for being on Around the Wood.
Oh, thank you for having
us.
Thanks
a lot.
You can find out more about EPAC and their production of Spring Awakening at EffortOfPerformingArtsCenter.com. You can also link up from the show post for this episode at our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.